Contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Wait a minute. Do you still think politics is boring? Well, not when you can say fun words like caucus. Yes, it's fun words like caucus and more. With the intellectual, intersexual, and intersectional. Nicole Sandler on NicoleSandler.com.
Boom. You know, Tell Me Something Good is one of those all-time great songs that holds up. I don't care what year it is, it still holds up. If you didn't figure it out, the pre-show music theme was Good Friday. We did good songs. We did Friday songs. To me, every Friday is good. So, you know.
That sounds good.
Sounds good to me, too. So that voice belongs to the one and only, the lovely Boca Brittany Summers, who's here for a Good Friday. Yes, Osama, number five in the chat room. It is time to start drinking because it is Friday. And if you're here on the East Coast, boy, I'm all over the place today. If you're on the East Coast, it's already 3 and most of the country is out because it's Good Friday and there's some kind of holiday this weekend. And so, yeah. You know, go for it. Imbibe with the intoxicator of your choice.
By the way, that song sounds a lot better when you're wearing white shoes and a knick-knick shirt.
No, it really did. Knick-knick shirts. That's what they were called, isn't it?
Knick-knick shirts, yeah.
You know, I saw one of those in a movie, and I was trying to remember what it was, and I knew it had something to do with Nick, because I'm Nicole, but I couldn't remember what it was called, and I thought knick-knick, and I'm like, no, that can't be right. Yeah. Those were those printed, button-down shirts that women wore.
Women right? and men wore.
Well, men wore them too.
And if you didn't have the body to put it on, it did not look good.
Right. Like, well, they were like they were button down shirts, and I was, my boobs were always too big, so I could never wear button down things because it didn't matter what, you know, what size I got, my boobs would pull at them, and it always had that gap here, so I couldn't wear anything button down. You'll notice I still don't do it very often.
They were double knit too. I think
they were like a polyester blend.
Polyester for the double knicks and the belts.
They had the cool prints, so they were all different patterns. Anyway,
that part I liked.
We are dating ourselves here, aren't we?
Well, that just brings that was 1974.
That was 1974. Rufa and Chaka Khan, tell me something good, baby.
More to come on the Nicole's Handler Show.
So it is Good Friday. Not only is, you know, I guess Sunday is Easter. Says the, you know, the atheist Jew over here. So it's really not my holiday. I can't help you much out there. But tomorrow is tax day. And you know, we're poor, you know, and by all rights, we should have had our taxes done like a long time ago. We filed for an extension because in addition to being poor, we're also procrastinators.
Yeah, well.
So.
I'm off the hook. I make less than $9,000 a year, so.
Oh, my God.
I don't know. It may come after me after anyway.
Yeah, well, no, I got my kids' taxes done. You know, she works at the mall. I did the last year, believe it or not, I mentioned to my accountant, who I have since I, you know, used to make money. And so I said, you know, my daughter's got a job for the first time, and I need to do her taxes. He goes, oh, just send it to me. I'll get it done. He charged me $175 to do her taxes. Then I was like, are you kidding me? If I had known that you were going to charge me $175, I would have gone down the street to H&R Block. As it turns out, I did it online at H&R Block for $14.95. And her refund check is sitting on the kitchen table right now for $400 and some odd.
Wow. That's
She's
great.
Got more money than I do.
And that's for selling. You worked for what? That was Soapy Sales, right? That's
Well, the name of the store. Well, she was working at, I can say it now because she doesn't work there anymore, at Auntie Anne's Pretzels. She worked there for almost 2 years. Oh, but now she works at the
Soapy
organic
Sales.
Soap thing at the mall. Did she give you any soap?
No, I got no soap.
Oh, she's on this kick now where she gives everybody soap. So if you have a birthday or something, she'll give you soap.
Oh.
It's organic soap. Made from essential oils and stuff. It's really good.
Bit of soap by the Jarmels, 1964. Sorry.
We'll be right back on the Nicole Sandler Show. So anyway, no, technically you're right. Tax day this year is on the 18th because the 15th falls on a Saturday. So why wouldn't it be the 17th? Shouldn't it be the 17th?
I don't think they're going to hold it down to the... This, on a weekend?
No, because the 15th is on Saturday, the 16th is Sunday, the 17th is Monday. It should be Monday.
They'll probably take that into consideration. I mean, it doesn't
they
have
don't
to
take
go
anything
deadline.
Into consideration. Yeah, there's a deadline. It's always April 15th, but it's a weekend, so it's the next weekday.
Well, I don't know if that's legal because that's the post office now. Post office does not deliver in certain areas on Saturday.
Maybe.
Or a pickup for that.
Oh, okay. So maybe it's Tuesday. Whatever.
I still had to file
an extension because I didn't do anything. I haven't gotten anything together. And you could tell from the looks of my studio here, I'm so organized. Monday's another day of observance, Natalie tells us in the chat room.
That's the day we all observe that it is Monday.
Easter Monday.
Really?
I don't know. Because in the United States, whenever a holiday falls on a weekend, they make it, they give you the Monday as the holiday so that you have a legal holiday on a Monday. So people get a 3-day weekend, I guess. Oh, Call Me Tripp says Emancipation Day is a holiday in Washington, D.C. to mark the anniversary of the signing of the Compensated Emancipation Act, which President Abraham Lincoln signed on April 16th, 1862. It's annually held on April 16th. Look at that.
Thank you.
Learn something every day from our listeners. Thank you, Tripp.
Tripp, love you. Where have you been?
Tripp, he's always in the chat room.
You still
anytime you want
me that dinner. I'm still waiting.
Okay, Tripp, you got to buy Boca her dinner.
No.
Anyway, so tomorrow for tax day is the big tax day marches all over the country. Now, I, of course, live in South Florida, where our illustrious president is here again. You know, he was here at the beginning of the week because he had to have President Xi for a summit at, you know, not Camp David, not the White House, but at Mar-a-Lago, where the kitchen has been cited by the health department. Did you hear this?
City commissioners in Palm Beach are floating a resolution to raise his taxes on his property.
Good.
To compensate for, what is it, $5 million they lose each weekend in a day?
It's ridiculous. But this goes further. Mar-a-Lago's kitchen slapped with 13 health violations.
Yay.
This is where he has people to these high-powered dinners, right? President Trump has promised to make America great again. Maybe he should start with a kitchen at Mar-a-Lago. Yeah. Boom. I need my rim shot handy. That was from CNN. The president's posh resort in Palm Beach, Florida was slapped with 13 health violations at its last kitchen inspection in January, including three categorized as high priority by Florida's Division of Hotels and Restaurants. Two of those were related to keeping raw meat, such as the beef at the heart of Trump's beloved meatloaf, in walk-in and reach-in coolers that were set above the mandated maximum temperature of 41 degrees. It's because he's too cheap to pay the cooling costs. The results of the 26th January inspection, the first and only one since Trump's inauguration, were first reported Wednesday by the Miami Herald. State sanitation and safety laws define high priority violations as, quote, those which could contribute directly to foodborne illness or injury and include items such as cooking, reheating, cooling, and hand washing. Wouldn't you pay $200,000 a year for a membership in that club?
To watch him get a foodborne illness, I would.
Right. Oh, my God. You know, I've had one of those illnesses. I, years ago, came down, contracted something called Shigella, which is really nasty. I was still living in California. I had I worked with Mark and Brian, a big morning show. We were the number one morning show in Los Angeles, and I worked my ass off. And we, from Thanksgiving, we used to do the day before Thanksgiving Day parade by the LA Sports Arena, by the Coliseum downtown. And so we did this big parade starting at 6 o'clock in the morning. We would broadcast it live on the radio. Thousands of people would show up. So I produced that. Then I immediately went into Christmas show mode, which was an insane, ridiculous 4-hour live morning show from when I left. We were doing it at the Palladium, also broadcast live on the air with megastars. Mm-hmm. And then the guys would go on vacation for 2 or 3 weeks, depending on, you know, how long the break was. And I would have to produce a best of and run it every day while they were gone. So it got to, I was like, okay, I'm just going to go away for a weekend. It was right in the middle there. So I went for a long weekend. It was, you know, like January, must have been January, early January. And I went out to this this hot springs in, I can't even remember the name of it. It was I didn't know I was going to talk about this. I can't even remember the name of the town. But it was out east in the desert a little bit. And I got out there and I spent the day getting spa treatments and massages and all kinds of stuff. And that night, luckily I met a woman who worked at the spa and we became fast friends. And we actually had dinner that Saturday night. And I wake up the next morning. I go to bed that night and I got violently ill. And I was up all night, like ill from both ends, really sick. To the point where, like, in the morning, I couldn't get off the floor. I was so sick. And finally, I called her and I said, I'm really sick. Can you come help me? And she said, I was wondering where you were this morning. I thought you were getting a plunge pool thing. And I told her what happened. And she raced over to my room. She took me to the hospital. They admitted me. I was in the hospital for over a week because the culture they did was so slow growing, and it turned out to be Shigella. And they informed me, I hope nobody's eating. I know it's lunchtime out on the West Coast. Shigella is a fecal bacteria. So obviously I had eaten something, and the incubation period is over a week. So the incubation period, it was sometime a week earlier, I had eaten something that somebody prepared who had this parasite or bacteria and didn't wash their hands.
Oh my God.
How disgusting is that?
That's living hell.
Well, if you eat at Mar-a-Lago, you too can get Shigella.
Well, we can only hope.
Yeah.
Because the only time that ever happened to me really in a public area was Epcot.
Oh.
I had a bad steamed clam.
Oh, no.
And it attacked me on the way home.
Oh, cool.
So I was doing like the Green Apple Quick Step all the way down the turnpike. It was the only time I ever used public toilets in that fashion. It was the only time in my life I
really?
Ever did that. Yeah.
Wow. And if you've never been to the toilets on the Florida Turnpike, you're really missing something. Hey, speaking of toilets, I don't know if you heard, the Dump Administration has dropped its opposition to the North Carolina pulling out of the bathroom bill thing. So I guess that's a double negative, but it turns out to be a positive of sorts.
Yeah, well, the Republicans there are doubling down. They're going after the gays now. That's
what?
Not just, oh, yeah, what was this new bill that they passed? They want to nullify gay marriage in North Carolina. That's the new one.
You're kidding. I thought they learned their lesson.
No,
and they have a new
down.
Democratic governor.
That's a good question because none of this is going to get signed into law, I think. Although they stripped him of his powers. So
oh, right.
I don't,
of
must
a lot
be
of his powers, but he's still the governor. He's still the governor.
He still has to sign. I mean, they can't break his
right.
hands.
No, okay. Exactly. He would still have to sign it.
Well, then it's not going to go into law. But this is the stuff they're floating right now.
Yeah.
Just in retaliation. In retaliation for 2015, actually. It just never stopped. Prior to this, nobody knew what a transgender. Nobody cared. I mean, outside of what is it called? Orange is the New Black. That was probably
Orange
the first
is the
time
New Black.
Ever.
Right. Just like Will and Grace brought gay people into your living room, Orange is the New Black brought transgender people into our homes. And it's like, okay, she's like a regular person.
Well, the gays were smart. They mobilized. They knew it was going to take 20 or 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
They did hire PR companies. And they did. They were persistent. And they were they were unified. They had a unified front. Everybody had their back. So you're never going to see that with the transgender community. I'm sorry.
Well, there was. I mean, it started as a real negative and a shocker. Mm-hmm. I know you'll be surprised. There is one reality show that I watch. And I've watched it since the show started. I watch Survivor. I'm Nicole Sandler, and I watch Survivor. I have watched Survivor for the 15 years or ridiculous amount of time it's been on the air. And I think it's because, first of all, I'm a beach bum. I like the beach. And there's part of me, and I really want $1 million. I mean, I really, really want $1 million. And there were times throughout the last 15 years when I thought, I could do that. And then I see them all like crying and it's like, this is so miserable and it's raining and they're freezing cold and then they're sweating hot. It's like, I couldn't do that. I don't care how many millions of dollars I might win. Unless if I'm guaranteed I'll get the $1 million, then maybe I would do it. But if it's just, you know, a 1 out of 20 chance, the odds aren't good enough. And now I'm old. And so I'd be the oldest person on that stupid show. I'm that fucking old now.
Yeah.
So I'm watching it. I don't watch it live because then I'd have to sit through the commercial. So it's on the DVR. And when David's not around, because he won't watch it with me, I will sit and watch Survivor. So I'm watching it the other night. And this was this past Wednesday night's episode. And in the middle of it, as they're at, what's it called when they vote someone off? The tribal council, they call it. Mm-hmm. And they're a tribal. And David went in the kitchen to get his vitamins ready for the next day, because he's one of those people. He takes 50 million vitamins a day. So he's getting his vitamins all set up for the next day. And, you know, it's a big room. The living room's right next to the kitchen. So he's watching it with me. And they're a tribal council. And this one guy's being voted off. And it's obvious he's being voted off. He's like, well, there's somebody here who's been deceiving you all. And he goes, Zeke, why didn't you tell anybody you're transgender? And you see this guy, and his face just goes blank. And the other people start going, what are you? And this woman starts like crying. How dare you? How could you do that? I mean, I was actually very heartened to see the response from the other people there. Mm-hmm. And what was interesting, at first I'm thinking, how reprehensible. This is really sickening. And I went through all kinds of mixed emotions about, should CBS have ever even aired that? Because this guy was outed without his permission. But then, of course, if you sign on to do a reality show, any reality show, whether it's Survivor or the
that's right
Gross Housewives, you tell them
you relinquish those rights.
You relinquish all those rights. But the one of the women there who lives somewhere, I don't know, is from the South. And she's like, I grew up in a very conservative area. I live in a very conservative area. I don't know people in the LGBT community. And I had no idea. And Zeke, I love you. I've grown to love you. I've worked with you in this game for the last 18 days or whatever it's been. And she said, I never would have known. And I'm blown away, but I love you. There's, mm-hmm. you know, and this guy, the guy who outed him was just, he's like, there's not even a question who's going home. We don't even have to vote. Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
And that's what happened. But you didn't see it, obviously, because you don't watch Survivor.
That,
but
that was obviously scripted.
I don't know. The associate producer must
have approached that guy and said, hey.
You got to out him. Right. How would he know that Zeke is transgender?
Because they look, that's what they do in Housewives.
Mm-hmm.
Because then it'd be just boring to watch.
All right. I've never seen the Housewives show.
I don't watch reality.
Mm-hmm. How do you know they do it on Housewives then?
You know when I first learned that?
When?
The Ozzy Osbourne reality show. They were just, that's how I know. Because they were just setting up bullshit for them to just. And the Survivor thing.
Yeah.
You know, on one side of the camera, you're looking at people suffering and competing. Yeah. On the other side, there's catering.
They're eating
a
cheeseburger.
That's right.
But those people don't know. They don't get the food. See, I know a little bit about this because Mr. Laffy, Laffy's husband, is a writer on Naked and Afraid.
Oh,
believe
really?
It or not. Yes.
Okay.
And so I said, so how much of it is real? She said, believe it or not, it's all real. Everything that's there happened. Then they take the raw footage that has been all, you know, transcribed, and then they sort of finesse it and sort of weave a storyline around it, but it's all taken from the footage that's shot. Now, I've never met anybody who's done Survivor. I don't know, but I think they don't get food other than what they get on the show.
I do.
If anybody knows, do call in 954-889-6410 or Skype to Nicole Sandler. I know I can be naive sometimes.
Ask Laffy next time you have her on how far the SAG goes with this because APs now have to be billed as writers, although they're really not.
The
associate producers.
Okay.
They're billed as writers, although they don't write anything.
Right, because I know they do, like on those, like the Big Brother shows and stuff like that, they do sort of give them scenarios. I was wondering, now, how did this guy know, and I don't know his name, but I remember Zeke's name, the guy who outed him, Vernon or something like that. Vermin. I'll call him Vermin. So Vermin, how would he know that Zeke was transgender unless somebody told him?
Exactly.
So that was my only question. If nobody knew, and Zeke said and all these people this season, it's a particularly good season because these are people who've all played before. They're the game changers. They're the ones who make big moves. So, and Zeke said in his two seasons of doing the show, he never told a soul. And that people who knew him before know, but most people don't know that he's transgender. I would never know. In a million years, I wouldn't know.
He probably hasn't. But in the case of the production staff, I would say that's different.
Because they know. Yeah. They know everything.
Yeah, so they leaked know it to everything. Some, they leaked it to probably the most obvious person who would blurt that out in front of
the
camera.
Now, on Survivor, you don't show an ID. You are who you say you are. A lot of people lie about their profession or, you know, there was, you know, the woman who says she lives in a conservative area happens to be a cop. In the first season that she was on, because I watch it, she was on with another cop who lied, who said he did something else. And she's like, I know he's a cop. I'm a cop. I know a cop when I see a cop. He's a cop. He's lying to us. She figured it out.
Mm-hmm.
So she's a pretty good read of character. And she was crying. She looked very odd. She's like, I had no idea. And oh my God, I adore you. Vermin is an asshole. And you know, don't worry about anything here. But I'm telling this story as a way to segue into something else. Shall we talk BJs?
Yeah.
Not that.
That was good.
Yeah, I thought you'd like that. Again, I need my rim shot.
There's no real right way to say it.
No.
Speaking of BJ.
There's a store here. I live in Coral Springs, Florida. Boca used to live in Boca, but now lives in Coral Springs adjacent.
Mm-hmm.
And right in between where we two live, there's a warehouse store called BJ's. And despite the name, they don't give those out. But it stands for like Berkeley and Jensen or something boring like that.
Yeah.
Anyway, they're you know, a wannabe Costco. Costco's better. But, you know, they're the ones who are close. Anyway, you've done so much. You help out with all the imaging here. Obviously, not obviously, if I had money, I would pay you. I don't pay you for all the work you do for me, and I so appreciate it. And it was actually David's idea. He said, well, why don't we give Boca a BJ's membership? At least she can get cheap gas there, because the gas is cheap. It's
It's not that cheap.
Well, no, but it's cheaper than anywhere else. Yeah. And if you have the credit card, it's 10 cents off a gallon. And then a few times a year, they also have a thing where if you shop in the store, even get one thing before you buy the gas, it's another 5 cents off. So it's 15 cents off a gallon from their gas that's already 10 cents cheaper than the other places. But that aside, so we tried to do something nice to give you a little gift, you know, membership to BJ's.
We tried to do something
to do something nice. And the whole fucking world comes crashing in on us.
That's why I was quiet about it at first. On the air and online, because in a very, very tiny, minuscule way, it involved you, but not much. It's like all, and I'm going to be very short. I'm going to abbreviate what happened, because if you want to hear the entire story, tune in to thebritsummershow.com. There is a whole hour-long show there where I take it down piece by piece, exactly, and I do the timeline, everything. But what I'll say here on the show, it briefly was, there's two bullet points, and one is, I was told expressly, your gender does not match your identification. I'm afraid we'll have to ask you to leave. That was number one.
Okay, your gender. It didn't say your name. They said your gender identification.
They
your
focused gender, on my gender.
They didn't say anything about your name doesn't match?
No.
Okay.
Then, so naturally I said, well, you realize that's discrimination. This guy was black.
Wow.
I said, you do understand what discrimination is, right? And he just gave me a dirty ass look and just walked away. I said, well, let me speak to the manager. He brings the manager over. The manager was even worse than this guy. And I showed him the receipt. He didn't want to take it out of my hand. He didn't want to touch it. I had T-girl cooties. He didn't want to. This is the attitude I encountered. I said, it's David's receipt to me. I said, take a look at this as a gift. I said, do you discriminate against him as well? Because he bought me a gift card. And he acquiesced, took the car, receipt, holds the receipt between and shaking his hand in my face. He should have warned us you were transgender.
Okay, so when David bought the gift card for you,
they've
got to
know whether
receipt,
or not they're transgender.
He was supposed to say, by the way, the person we're buying this gift card for is transgender.
Yeah.
I've never heard of such a thing.
Well, now you have.
Wow.
And that is why. Well, now you know why I wanted the demands met at the time, and I wanted the help of the ACLU. Oh, that's another story.
Uh-huh.
See, if you get murdered, they're there for you.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. You know, well, I'll tell you my ACLU story after you're done. We'll get there after.
Yeah, I did about as much for you as they did for
me.
Yeah. So here's the thing. I thought on Discovery, I had money because it was my shopping day. I went across town, 900 miles across the way to Costco. I went through the same exact procedure because it's a box store and I wanted to see what treatment they would give me.
Right. No problem.
No problem. Here's your card.
But you didn't have a gift receipt that said Brittany Summers when your driver's license has a different name on it.
That my driver's license and passport are the only two forms of identification that doesn't have my name, and I'll explain why. I never had to. I got along. I would get through TSA. I would fly. I went.
See, that blows
London.
My mind that you get through TSA and they don't.
Yeah.
They don't give you a hard time.
Well, there's a lot of transgenders working
so
for TSA. But seriously, yeah.
Really?
So I
believe
I was,
you.
I was in the White Plains.
I wouldn't know.
Airport.
I don't know.
I'm going through the White Plains airport, and this is it. Woman takes my ID. She says, you've got a thister here, girl. Wow, this is great. That was in New York, not down here.
Wow.
The thing is, all of my other ID is Brittany Summers, and that's what Costco said. This is where BJ's made the mistake. Costco said, what other forms do you have with your name on it? And I said, here, and I gave him whatever, BB&T, whatever. And so have a happy day. I have 17 years, ladies and gentlemen, and I have never had a negative encounter about this. Until I went to that goddamn,
BJ's. And of all things for the store to be called, BJ's.
Yeah. Normally I'd be making jokes about it, but it wasn't a funny thing. And if you access, go into Facebook and search on Boycott BJ's Wholesale, that is my page. All I'm asking right now, I was asking for a lot more at the top of that because I was pissed off.
Mm-hmm.
But all I'm asking for right now is a written apology from corporate. ACLU, now getting back to that.
Okay, let me talk about boycotts for a second because I hear where you're coming from. Boycotts never work.
I know.
What people should do is go on a calling and a letter writing campaign. If you get people, forget about boycotting, they don't care, they don't know, and people don't boycott. Yeah. But if you say, what I would like you to do is, here's the person to write to or to call and let them know that what they did was discrimination and unconscionable, and that you're going to let everybody that you know. That, I think, holds more water than a boycott.
Like I said, everybody should call.
Yeah.
If you go on the Facebook page and all that information's there.
Okay,
if
where do I find
take
it on
a moment
Facebook?
And call.
Boycott BJ's?
Yeah, it's easy. It comes right up. I sent you a membership, too. But you've got like 900 messages that haven't been.
I can't even.
Oh,
I can't
look
even.
At this.
Boycott BJ's Wholesale Club. There you go. You see? Mm-hmm. So our friend Mitchell Stolberg, he actually commented in there. Britt was told her gender didn't match her driver's license and was refused membership.
And he was kind enough to provide even further information for contacting these people.
Okay. Why can't I get it to Boycott BJ's
Wholesale.
Oh, here, let me try it like this. So where's the page?
You should see the red sign. There it is, right there.
Ah, there it is. Okay.
You can like the page. I like the page.
Transphobic Wholesale Club. Boycott for anti-LGBT practices. Club member denied based on gender identification.
And down here, here's
a page.
A brief outline. Mm-hmm. And over here, if you click on it. Oh, I'm sorry. Up. See where Mitchell's posting. I think it's down.
up, down, around.
Where did it go?
It's here. Here's the phone number. But there's one you're saying that has a Mitchell.
Yeah, he wrote the whole thing down.
It's just my computer.
Well, at any rate, there is. What? And say, how do you not? First of all, if you want to call, the guy's name is Christopher Baldwin, who's the CEO there.
Okay.
And he used to manage Hess.
Gas stations?
Yes.
Okay. Are there Hess gas stations?
How many of those
anymore?
Do you see? No.
They're gone.
Won't see Hess no mo.
No.
Because they went out of business. And this is the new CEO and it's also owned, his bosses are a capitalist venture group. They're like Romney.
Oh, here. It's going to be under visitor posts, I would think. No, I can't find it. I can't.
Oh, it's there. You know what I'll do? I'll pull it up on my phone.
Okay.
You have to join it, I think.
I did. I'm liked. I'm following. I'm...
Well,
I don't know.
Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, not to bore you any further. We got a phone call.
Oh, boy. While you figure that out, let's... hi, who's this calling from the 808 area code? You're on with Boca Britt and Nicole.
Hi, this is Karen, and I happen to be genderqueer.
Hi, Karen.
Hi, Karen.
Hi. Actually, it's not what I called about you. You mentioned Mark and Brian?
Yeah. Yes.
Anyway, this is the syndicated weekday show called Dish Nation. Have you ever heard of that?
Dish Nation? Yeah. It's on television, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a gossip show
with radio people, with like Morning Zoo kind of. I mean, if Mark and Brian were around when they did that, they would have been on. I worked with Mark and Brian from 1990 to 1994. We were the number one morning show in Los Angeles while I was there. They went on for another almost 20 years after I left. I went on to have a life.
Sorry to interrupt, but this Dish Nation show, the personalities... The anchor show is in Atlanta, Ricky Smiley. They used to have also personalities in New York and Dallas. And the people in L.A. happen to be Heidi and Frank.
Frank, who replaced Mark and Brian.
Heidi and Frank.
Right. And they replaced Mark and Brian on KLOS after they went off the air.
Yeah. Yeah. And their sidekick is Sammy.
Okay.
I don't know if you remember Sammy.
Nope.
Who was Mark and Brian's last producer.
Oh, that was long after I was there.
She transitioned to Heidi and Frank.
Actually, she wasn't their producer because their producer was Ted Lakis. See, when I was there, I was the only producer. I left, then they got a staff of thousands. I did it all. Something about me always doing everything by myself. I don't know what it is, but yeah. So she might have worked on their show, but okay. Is there a point to this, or are you just letting me know that the people...
It's just that you brought up Mark and Brian, I don't know how they were on the LGBTQ issues back in the day.
Back in the early 90s, it was not something that, you know, people talked about. I mean, I always believed Brian was gay. I still think he is, but it was none of my business, so I didn't comment one way or another. He denied it. I always thought the problem with Brian, I can get myself sued over this. Problem with Brian was he was, you know, he wouldn't admit to his own sexuality, but you know, that was his problem, not mine. So it was not really a thing. I mean, we had gay friends. But it wasn't, you know, it wasn't out in the open as it is today. Again, we're going back a lot of years, 25 years or more.
Yeah. And just to dovetail to something that's more current, do you think all these Russian hacks and spying, do you think somewhere in the Kremlin they're holding information about the people in the government, in Congress,
Well, definitely on Trump.
They're holding it for ransom or something, blackmailing.
Well, I think they have enough info on Trump to blackmail him from here to eternity. I do believe that that dossier is real. I've read enough to know that there's enough smoke around it to believe that it's real. And honestly, what the dossier said, it didn't say that Trump hired these girls to pee on him. What it said was, this was the room where the Obamas stayed, or where Barack Obama stayed. And because he so hated Barack Obama, he hired these young girls to pee on the bed where Barack Obama slept while he watched. I have no doubt that that happened. No doubt whatsoever, because he's so twisted. And I believe they have that tape.
Maybe the Russians may be blackmailing people in Congress and others who are still closeted.
Oh, but you know what? Right now, being gay, look, if you're gay and you won't come out, that's your problem. Most people don't have an issue with it. Did you see the Survivor episode I was talking about?
I heard about it.
I mean, it was pretty heinous that this guy would do this. But the reaction of the other people on the show, the other contestants, especially the more conservative ones, who you would think would go, ew, we're just very, it was heartwarming. It was nice to see that it's not an issue, because if you know the human being, what anybody does with their own bodies in their, you know, in their private life is nobody else's business. And that seems to be the overriding belief system now, except for an occasional asshole at BJ's. Anyway, Karen, thank you. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for the call. All right. You find it? Britt?
No.
Oh, okay.
I'm trying to pull up the PDF.
Well, you know what? We'll find it. We'll find it on Facebook. We'll add it on my my blog at NicoleSandler.com. It's where I post each day's show. We'll put it up there for you.
Okay.
With the Facebook page that says Boycott BJ's for Anti-LGBT Practices, Club Member Denied Based on Gender Identification. You don't have to boycott, because they're not going to realize that you don't go there, but make your voice heard. Call them
that
and tell them
nice.
That what they did was really fucked up and wrong, because that makes it, that's a bigger impact. They don't know if you're a member or not, and frankly, they don't give a shit. But if you sound off to them, mm-hmm. that makes a difference.
Well, I should add that the Democratic Women's Club of Florida is behind me on this. And
good.
Equality Florida is behind me on this.
Good.
Now, getting to the ACLU.
Yes.
Well, if you're not a headline,
yes,
if you're not a dignitary, or if you're not dead,
right,
they don't want to talk to you.
Or if you're not, you know, if you're not like the guy who was dragged off, Dr. Dow, who was dragged off the United Airlines plane,
right,
where you're beaten and bloodied, they don't care. Because you remember, some listeners don't know because you haven't been with me that long, but it was April. It was this month. Oh, my God. I think we just passed like the sixth anniversary. Mm-hmm. I think it was 2011. It was like April 11th, right in there. It's like this time of year. I'm going to look it up on my blog. I went to, it was this time of year because there were town hall meetings, and it was right after, the Republican, it was the Republicans had just gained back control of the House. So it was 2011. Mm-hmm. And they had just voted on Paul Ryan's budget, which would have privatized Medicare and turned it into a voucher system. So we were all going to town hall meetings. I had guest hosted for Randy Rhodes the day before. I said, tomorrow is a town hall meeting in my, for my district. Of course, the meeting wasn't in my district. My congressman was Alan West. Who can forget Alan West, the war criminal? Anyway, he... So I went there, but the thing is, because we did sort of a role-playing thing, I wanted to, you know, on how to ask a question at a town hall meeting and get the most impact. So anyway, we talked about it. I show up the next night at this town hall meeting, and they were prepared for me, where at previous town hall meetings, Alan West had allowed constituents to go up to the microphone and actually ask their congressman a question. What a concept. At this one, they changed the rules, where you had to write it down on a card, and his staff would go through it, and they'd read the questions because they knew I was going to be there. So they get to the question about, you know, Medicare, and he gives some bullshit answer. It's like, well, this is going to preserve Medicare for future generations. And I'm sitting there raising my hand. I was in the second row center because a listener had saved me a seat right there. So I know he could see me. I'm waving my hand. I'm raising my hand. And he ignores me. And I finally shout out, you're not talking about preserving Medicare. You're talking about privatizing Medicare. I said, how do you expect an 80-year-old with high blood pressure, diabetes, and obesity to buy insurance on the open market for $8,000 a year? And by that time, the crowd starts yelling at me because this was at the Calvary Chapel, a mega church, not even in the district, but, you know, they loved him outside of the district. So they let him use their mega church auditorium. Off duty Fort Lauderdale cop pulls me out of the room, says, ma'am, you need to come with me. I'm like, fine, I'm out of here. And the cop kept pushing me. And I told him once, I said, get your hands off of me. And he pushed me again. And I said, get your fucking hands off of me. And he said, you're under arrest. I'm like, for what? He finally told my then boyfriend, now husband, trespass after warning.
Yeah, but, that, huh?
Yeah, right. Which I was never given a warning. Like, if you don't move, you're going to be arrested. Trespass? I was at a town hall meeting for my congressman. Make a long story short, they throw me in jail overnight. He came at 3 o'clock in the morning by the time I was finally booked to post bond. And then the guard laughed at me when she's escorting me up to the cells. And I'm like, oh, no. My boyfriend is coming to bail me out. She's like, it takes hours to get through the system. You're spending the night here. Grab a blanket. So we go up. I'm in the cell at 7 o'clock in the morning. They call the names of all but four women in this cell block. And it looks just like the cell blocks that you see on any of these, you know, lockup shows, too. Mm-hmm. They have a cell block, and there's an open area at the bottom of the stairs where there's some phones and tables. So just the four of us are left there. The other ones were brought to go before the magistrate. And we all realized that our bond had already been posted. So we figured we're going to be out of there really soon. And so they say, well, we need you all to go into cell number one because they're going to clean the day room. They called it the day room area. Okay, so they put us in there in this cell that they were using to store mattresses. Right. Mattresses, the little, you know, little yoga pads they put on the floor. Right. But it was cramped. I mean, these cells are made for two people, not four. And certainly not when they're stacked high with these, you know, kindergarten sleep pads. So 20 minutes goes by, half hour. And then we realize the cleaning crew is gone and they forgot about us. They left us locked in that cell. So when they finally let us out, I said to the guard, you owe us an apology. And he's like, what are you talking about? And I said, well, you locked us in that room. You forgot about us. There's no air to breathe. You know, you owe us an apology. We're human beings. He goes, yeah, I got your apology. See cell number 4 at the top of the stairs? Go in there alone. You have all the air you need. Mm-hmm. And he basically locked me in that cell by myself for the next 4 or 5 hours, right, to punish me. They called my name while I was up there, and I'm screaming, I'm locked in cell number 4. And nothing. They didn't come to get me out because I know this guard was punishing me for saying that he owed us an apology. Sorry, I'd never been in jail before. I thought I'm a human being. I'm allowed to stick up for myself. You would have thought I murdered his mother. So long story short, now it's lunchtime and I'm like, do I get anything to eat? He's like, I'll bring it up to you. So the door opens. It's like an electronic thing. It slams shut. So it opens just a little bit. He gives me a tray and it slams behind him. And there's like mystery meat and 2 slices of bread and an orange. It's like, oh, I want that orange. And then the door opened. I'm like, thank God. I walked out of the cell and I sat at the top. It was right by the top of a flight of stairs. And I sit on the top step and I start peeling this orange because I hadn't eaten anything since before that stupid town hall meeting the night before. Actually, since lunchtime, because I'd filled in for Randy Rhodes and then hauled ass down to Fort Lauderdale to get to this meeting. And I'm peeling the orange, and all of a sudden I hear, get back in that cell. And I'm like, you're talking to me? He's like, get back in that cell. I said, please don't make me go back in there. He said, are you disregarding a direct order? I'm like, I just want to, please don't make me go back in there. I just want to eat this orange. Next thing I know, he's standing in front of me on the steps, and all of a sudden he's spraying mace. I later learned it was pepper foam into my eyes. So I was arrested without cause. I was pepper foamed, abused in the jail. And I call the ACLU and say, oh, there's nothing we can do.
Yeah.
And they strung me along for months. Well, maybe this lawyer
and
will help
you.
You
were a headline. You were on CNN that night.
I was on MSNBC.
I'm sorry, MSNBC.
Yeah, but on the local news, and I was in the papers, and I was everywhere. And no, still, because I didn't have any physical, I didn't have any scars to show. I mean, I had the pictures with my eyes. Oh, and the way they helped me afterwards was ridiculous. They bring me into an office where there was a sink, and they held my head under the faucet and just let the water run into my eyes. While this woman, who works, the nurse ostensibly, was on the phone talking to her sister-in-law about buying tickets for some concert.
So they can abuse you while you're in custody.
Right.
And as far as the
ACLU did nothing to help. Broward County ACLU.
The worst. The absolute fucking worst. However, the Dade County one, they do good work as far as voter suppression is concerned. They focus on voters' rights throughout South Florida. And I can't really take them all the way down because they do some excellent work. I have to be honest about it. But when it comes to anything smaller than generating donations, if it's not something they feel is going to be a big generator for that, then they tell you to cock the hoist, as they told me. But... Equality Florida, they were there. And I think if this was 2011, they would even stand up for you. At least they would take some action.
You know why they won't do it? Because they're all, they're private attorneys who are members of the ACLU. But if they don't have a payday in store for them, they're not going to take the case. And they're like, well, it costs our attorneys money to bring a case. Well, maybe the ACLU should just take on some cases under the auspices of the ACLU because it's the right thing to do.
Yeah, they were trying to build my case up to a big lawsuit for whatever amount of money, millions of dollars, thousands of dollars. And that's not anywhere close to what I wanted to do.
Right.
That's why it took 30 days for them to get back to me.
But that's all they want. They're in it for the money, for the private attorneys who are part of the ACLU. It's not about the ACLU as a whole. But maybe the ACLU needs to have some staff attorneys who take these kind of cases where there's not going to be a big payday for the individual lawyer who takes the case.
Like pro Sonny Bono.
Pro Sonny Bono. Hi. Hi. Who's this in the 250 area code?
250 is British Columbia.
Ah, that's you.
And this is Catherine.
Hey, Catherine. You're in British Columbia? I'm so jealous. Can I come live with you?
I'd love to go there.
It's really close to Korea, North Korea.
Oh, well, across the Pacific, yeah. Right. Oh. So if they do, right, I was saying, wait a minute, my geography, I know I was never a great student, but that's not, but I see what you're saying, yes. But still, I would live there. You're closer than we are in Florida, but I'd still live in British Columbia. And you're going to get legal weed soon, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not a concern of mine. I'm not that excited about, I'm excited about it, but it, since I don't use weed.
Right.
I probably.
But if you ever do get cancer, you know, it's nice to know that you can have access to it, which you do anyway, because you already have medical.
Yeah, we have medical. I have a card and it's great for headaches. But once again, I'm way into relaxation. But what I really wanted to call about was to say, did you get sick at Two Bunch Palms?
No, it wasn't Two Bunch Palms. It was, and I can't think what it was. It was out near, and I'm thinking of all these like desert towns like Yucaipa. It wasn't Yucaipa. It wasn't, I can't think of the name
of it. Not Desert Hot Springs?
It was near Desert Hot Springs, but it wasn't Desert Hot Springs. It was they had the mud pits there.
Yeah, that is Two Bunch Palms.
Yeah, but there are a number of spas around there. This was a smaller one. I don't remember the name of it. It was in that general area near Lake Elsinore, actually.
Oh, you're talking about, I know that one too. I want to call it Gabriola, but it's not.
Yeah, that's not it either. It was near Lake Elsinore because the hospital I was at, I was in the hospital for over a week. And the bad thing about, the nice thing is they gave me a private room and all kinds of great treatment because all of a sudden, that Monday morning, I call into the show. I'm like, guys, I'm in the hospital, and they didn't know what it was. And all of a sudden, flowers started being delivered. My room looked like a florist shop. And the mayor of Lake Elsinore shows up to see me. And, you know, by the end of the week, I'm rank. I mean, really, I was like gross. I was in the hospital. I felt sick. I was still puking out of both ends. I was like really sick. And people that I didn't know were just showing up. And it wasn't like they call you from the front desk. Oh, you have a visitor. They walk in your room. So, yeah, it was an interesting experience.
Well, I did change the subject, and you were talking about much more political things. So
yes.
You should hang up on me and continue your discussion.
Oh, that's okay. Well, thank you for calling. It's nice to hear from you. And British Columbia, what a beautiful place to live.
It means beautiful climate.
Yes, climate, scenery, people, everything. I would trade places with you in a heartbeat. You want a place in the Florida? We've got some beautiful swampland not too far from here.
No, I'm already on an island. So.
I hear you. All right, Catherine, thank you so much for the call.
Thank you for your show. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Oh, that was nice. I like the Canadians. They're good people.
I've been to Toronto.
Well, she's not in Toronto. She's
no, I'm not.
British.
She said Canada. I'm saying
I know.
It's not. I had a good time up there.
Yeah, no. I sound like I know, like I've been there, like I know Vancouver, like the back of my hand. However the expression goes, I don't. I've never been. I've just heard so many amazing things. And having lived in L.A., I know they shoot a lot of TV up there. Chris Isaac, my old pal Chris Isaac, you know, he used to have a TV show on Showtime, which, by the way, I got to see if that's on Hulu or Netflix or anywhere, because it was a really funny show. They shot that in Vancouver. Everything's shot in Vancouver.
I think it all started with The X-Files.
Oh, I think you're right.
Way back in the mid-90s, and they found out that, that just, because I wanted to talk about this on my show, we'll talk about it here.
Do it, yes.
Rick Scott.
Ugh, that's the governor of Florida, who looks like Voldemort. Yeah.
He closed the Florida Office for Film and Television Incentives.
He did?
Like a year ago.
And now they're closing the Florida Tourism Office or something. They don't want to promote Florida
tourism.
Oh my God.
Go back to Canada. We don't need no tourists here.
Go visit
Cuba. Fine.
Go to Cuba.
You know what I've done now that that's happening?
I know.
Why not?
Why
just,
not?
Just keep going south.
90 miles.
I would like to go there.
I'd go. We should do a broadcast from there.
That would be great. Live from Cuba. We could get the hotel where they had Superman in The Godfather. Remember when
no.
When Fredo, when Michael kissed Fredo?
Yeah.
That hotel.
Oh, that
they were
was
watching
in Cuba.
Superman.
Oh, okay.
The guy with the very long schlong.
I don't
you don't remember that
I
scene?
I don't remember that scene. Okay. My memory is bad. It's the pot smoking.
So what was I saying? Oh, we're talking
Rick
about
Scott.
Rick Scott. Yes. Yes. Just this week it was announced that Atlanta, Georgia, they have a $200 billion film industry up there.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because everybody was here, moved to Atlanta.
Yep.
And my entertainment attorney,
yes,
who couldn't help me, what could he do? So he's losing clients. He's getting a hard time getting work himself. You know who he's picking up? Telemundo, Univision.
Uh-huh.
Because for our audience down in Miami, that is a thriving industry.
Yeah,
I said to you repeatedly, if we spoke Spanish, we'd be fine.
No hablo español.
That's the thing.
Un poco solamente.
And even if we learned it, it would sound stupid.
Yeah, like I say, so, un poquito solamente.
So that's where the business went now, down in this part of the state.
Mm-hmm.
And up in the north part of the state, there ain't no business as far as film and television is concerned.
No. And Rick Scott does. Well, Rick Scott now is ramping up to run for the U.S. Senate. He's going to challenge Bill Nelson. Bill Nelson is no great shakes. He's a U.S. senator. He's a backbencher. He's a conservadem. Mm-hmm. Although I must admit I was pleasantly surprised that he sided with the majority of the Democrats in filibustering Gorsuch, because I think that was the right move.
Mm-hmm.
But Bill Nelson has always been a bleh senator, and he's a former astronaut, and he's an old school southerner that just doesn't got to fit in with Florida.
He is a space cowboy.
But I'll tell you, this is one of those cases. Sorry, like it was with Hillary and Dump. I will enthusiastically vote for Bill Nelson if Rick Scott is the alternative. So anyway, so Rick Scott's saying, who needs those tourist dollars here in Florida?
And Tim Canova had a posted, if you look at his page, he has a picture of him holding up the space cowboy. The guy's old. He was like leaning into him. Bill Nelson.
Bill Nelson.
He's like 150 years old.
He's an old guy.
But he came down on our side as far as that Sable Trail pipeline is concerned.
Yes. What is happening with Sable Trail? Do we know?
Oh, they're building it. They're plowing right through.
A pipeline in Florida. By the way, Keystone XL already sprung a leak.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So he needs one here and the water's gone.
Yeah.
Just one.
Yeah.
What was that? We're having a drought.
We are in the middle of a drought.
And they won't open the waterways from the lake down to our aquifer, the sugar companies, I'm sorry. See, I talk backwards. Sugar companies are blocking the waterways southward to our area. And our fresh water only comes from the aquifer, which is a very delicate balance.
It also comes from, it's a weird ecosystem down here because we've got the Everglades not too far to our west, could throw something and hit it. But there's a series of canals that they built throughout Florida to connect the fresh water from the Everglades to the ocean water for some reason. And where they come together, I think it's kind of screwed up. They screwed everything up.
Yeah.
It's Florida. So now we get our drinking water from Lake Okeechobee. And for a long time, we did have a drought a few years ago, and Lake Okeechobee was at record low levels. Well, then it came back, sort of like what happened in California. They're back now. And now, again, this year, we're in a drought again, and they're saying, no, you can't have water from Lake Okeechobee anymore?
But the way I understand it is, it's all salt water coming inland, and at the mangroves and the Everglades act as a filtering system too, and that's how we get the fresh water out.
Yeah, we're almost there. I know. Doesn't time fly when we're having fun? We didn't even get to talk about the bomb. By the way, today they released the video of the big mother of all bombs hitting. I got the sound of it for you. Here you go.
Hey, what about Major Kong?
I love that Slim Pickens.
I did this just for you.
the best.
Actually, I was going to use that clip in What's News Today, and I finished it, and I uploaded it, and then I saw it. It's like, oh, shit, I forgot to use Dr. Strangelove in What's News. So I figured I'd play it for you
Pickens
here.
Pickens has the right idea.
Ay, ay, ay. All right.
Might as well go out laughing.
All right. With that, we are. Oh, we can turn our end of the show music back up. So we're just about done. As always, listen to Boca Britt. Oh, I stopped the music. Your show is, you can find it at thebritsummershow.com.
That's all you need to know.
That's all you need to know, thebritsummershow.com. And, you know, whenever she decides to stop in here, don't forget, tomorrow, the tax march is, just Google tax marches. There's one near you. Find one, get out, get active, because it's up to us. It's all hands on deck time. We got no... You know, we got nothing else to do.
I'm going
to
go home now and paint my eggs. Both of them. Oh, sorry.
I don't have any left, so okay. Good for you.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, everyone. All right. I never know when Progressive Voices, you know, is out, and I always try to give them a hard out, but right because there. The clock, no, they're gone now. But the clock, it's not actual time, you know? Anyway. They're gone now, and we'll be on our way too. And because we didn't play it during the show, let me leave you with today's What's News. Have a great weekend, everyone. See you Monday for the music show, Tuesday with Laffy. I read the news
today, oh boy. It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
It dominated the news on Thursday.
Mother, do you think they'll drop the bomb?
A short time ago, the U.S. Air Force dropped a 21,000-pound bomb in eastern Afghanistan, the first use ever of this weapon in combat. This is a weapon called the Massive Ordnance Air Blast Bomb, MOAB, MOAB. The nickname inside the Air Force for this, quite seriously, is the mother of all bombs.
Mother, do you think they'll try to break my balls?
So the U.S. drops this massive bomb for the first time ever. Though the timing is quite suspect. On the campaign trail, Donald Trump showed he was just itching to use weapons of mass destruction.
I would bomb the shit out of them.
But if you listen to the whole clip, you'll see he was talking about bombing Iraq and Syria to take their oil, not Afghanistan.
ISIS is making a tremendous amount of money because they have certain oil camps, right? They have some in Syria, some in Iraq. I would bomb the shit out of them. I would just bomb those suckers. I'd blow up the pipes. I'd blow up the reef. I'd blow up every single inch. There would be nothing left. And you know what? You'll get Exxon to come in there, and in 2 months, they'll rebuild that sucker brand new. It'll be beautiful. And I'd take the oil.
Tough talk on the trail, but in the 12 weeks he's been in office, his poll numbers have been spiraling downward. What better way to get a bump than to drop a bomb, right? He first used that tactic a week ago when he lobbed a bunch of expensive missiles in a Syrian airstrip, causing so little damage they were flying missions from there less than 24 hours later.
Last Thursday, on the night that the new administration decided to shoot those Tomahawk missiles at that Syrian airbase, so all the other news got sort of shut off for the night, the New York Times reported that it was not just the FBI that was looking into the Russian attack on our election last year and the question of whether or not the Trump campaign might have been involved in that attack. On Thursday night, the New York Times reported that the CIA director, John Brennan, late last summer, did individual one-on-one briefings with the top leadership in Congress, with the heads of the intelligence committees and the heads of both parties in both houses of Congress. And according to the New York Times, John Brennan briefed these members of Congress, A, that Russia was interfering in our election, B, that Russia appeared to be interfering in our election specifically to try to help Trump win, and C, that the CIA was, quote, seeing signs of possible connections between the Russian attack and the Trump campaign.
The New York Times breaks a big story about the then CIA director briefing congressional leadership about the scope of the Russian involvement in the elections, and Trump launches his first major military strike. So what happened this Thursday, the day that the administration lobbed the second biggest bomb in our arsenal, garnering lots of breathless made-for-media mentions?
For the first time ever, the mother of all bombs was used by the U.S. military in combat.
The bomb is called a GBU-43/B Massive Ordnance Air Blast, but it's also known as the mother of all bombs, and it has never been used in combat before.
Never before has the United States used a conventional weapon this big in combat. It's officially called called a massive ordnance air blast, but it's better known by that nickname, the mother of all bombs.
As I explained on the Nicole Sandler Show on Thursday, The Guardian had another damning report claiming evidence of collusion between the Russians and some in the Trump campaign.
The Guardian reports today that as far back as 2015, GCHQ, which is the British equivalent of the NSA, picked up signals intelligence of, quote, members of Donald Trump's campaign team having contact with Russian intelligence operatives.
What? You didn't hear about that on your regular evening newscast? Perhaps because the media was salivating over the mother of all bombs. At least Rachel Maddow covered it, realizing that this is a big story.
Quote, GCHQ first became aware in late 2015 of suspicious interactions between figures connected to Trump and known or suspected Russian agents. This intelligence was passed to the U.S. as part of a routine exchange of information. Over the next 6 months until the summer of 2016, a number of Western agencies shared further information on contacts between Trump's inner circle and Russians. These alleged conversations were picked up by chance as part of routine surveillance of Russian intelligence assets. Over several months, different agencies targeting the same people, they began to see a pattern of connections that were flagged to intelligence officials in the United States. The European agencies were saying there are contacts going on between people close to Mr. Trump and people we believe are Russian intelligence agents. You should be wary of this. The message was, watch out. There's something not right here.
But the mainstream media was fixated on... Although it's unclear whether or not the commander-in-chief was even aware of the strike ahead of time, there was another flip-flop, this time regarding the military, for whom the dumpster had lots of campaign trail criticisms.
We are so proud of our military, and it was another successful event.
Another successful event? Last week's Tomahawk missile drops on the Syrian airstrip did not do serious damage and was reported to have killed 9 civilians, including 4 children. His first military incursion, that doomed Yemen raid, claimed Navy SEAL Ryan Owens and dozens of civilians, while garnering little, if any, useful intelligence. And then there's an almost complete lack of coverage of another strike in Syria just days after the first one that killed 18 U.S.-backed Syrian forces in a friendly fire incident. Yeah, just a few days ago. Stay tuned. Unfortunately, there's likely much more to come. Another blow against the evil empire. If you like these What's News reports, I hope you'll consider a donation. What's News and the Nicole Sandler Show are 100% listener supported. Please visit NicoleSandler.com to help keep us going.